Chapter 2. A Fight with Death. I took Lady Rowena back to a room high up in the tower of the Abbey, where we lived for the first month of our marriage. The room was very large, with an enormous window made of glass from Venice. The ceiling was high, like a church, and in the center there was a big gold chandelier. There were sofas from the east and an Indian bed. On the walls were long tapestries, like carpets, with designs made of gold. The tapestries moved every time the wind blew. My wife was afraid of me because I was often sad and depressed. She did not love me much and stayed away from me, but I preferred this. I always thought about Ligeia, my beautiful Ligeia, dead in the tomb. Sometimes in my dreams, I called to her in the night. I imagined that perhaps my love for her could bring her back to me. At the beginning of the second month, Lady Rowena became ill. She did not sleep very well, and told me she could hear sounds and movements in the tower. "You have a fever," I said. "You're imagining things." She got better, but then she went back to bed with a second illness, worse than the first. The doctors could not understand it. Again, Rowena began to hear little sounds and movements in the bedroom, and they frightened her. One night, at the end of September, she woke up suddenly. I was sitting on a sofa by her bed. She whispered to me that she could hear sounds and see movements, and there was a frightened expression on her thin face. But I saw and heard nothing. "It's the wind," I explained. "You can see the tapestries moving in the wind." But her face was white with fear, and she nearly fainted. I remember that there was some wine on the table on the other side of the room. As I walked under the light of the chandelier, a strange thing happened. I felt something invisible pass me, and on the carpet I saw a shadow, almost the shadow of a shadow. I decided to say nothing to Rowena. I poured out a glass of wine and gave it to her. Then I sat on the sofa and watched her. After some moments, I heard very quiet footsteps on the carpet coming towards the bed. A second later, as Rowena was about to drink the wine, I saw, or perhaps I dreamed that I saw, three or four large drops of a bright red liquid fall into the glass. Rowena did not see it. She drank the wine, and I said nothing because I thought it was only my imagination. After this, Rowena's health got much worse, and on the third night she died. Her servants prepared her for the tomb, then covered her with a sheet. The next night, I sat alone with her body in the bedroom. Strange forms and shadows moved around me. I looked nervously into the dark corners at the moving tapestries, and I felt frightened. Then I looked at the carpet under the chandelier. There was no shadow there, and I felt better. When I looked at Rowena on the bed, sad memories of Ligeia, the only woman I ever loved, came back to me. It was perhaps around midnight when I heard a sound. It was quiet but clear, and it woke me from my dreams. I thought it came from the bed. I listened in terror, but I did not hear it again. I looked carefully at Rowena for any sign of life. She was not moving, but I continued to look at her. Minutes passed, then I noticed a little color in Rowena's face. My heart stopped in horror. I could not move. When I understood that Rowena was not dead, I tried to revive her. But soon the color disappeared from her cheeks. Her face looked like marble again, and her lips were thin with the horrible expression of death. When her body was cold and rigid, I fell onto the sofa and dreamed about Lygia. An hour later, I heard the same sound as before. I listened. Yes, there it was again. A sigh from the bed. I ran over and saw clearly that her lips were trembling. Then they opened, showing her bright teeth. I thought I was going mad. There was a pink color on her cheeks and neck. Her body was getting warm again, and her heart was beating a little. Lady Rowena was alive. I did everything I could to revive her. Then, suddenly, her color disappeared. Her heart stopped, and her body became cold and rigid. I sat down and began to think about Lygia again. Then again, for the third time, there was a sound from the bed. But why must I describe the horrors of that night? Again, I tried to revive Rowena, and then a fourth time. Each time, she seemed to fight with an invisible force. And each time, her body changed. I cannot say how, but she looked different. It was nearly dawn when she moved again. I was sitting on the sofa, exhausted, but Rowena's body moved with more energy than before. Her color returned, signs of life changed her face. Her eyes were closed, but she looked alive. Then she suddenly got out of bed and walked slowly to the center of the room, like she was walking in her sleep. I did not tremble. I did not move. I was as cold and still as stone, paralyzed by what I saw. As I looked at her, my head filled with wild thoughts. Was Rowena really alive? Could I really see her blonde hair and blue eyes? Why wasn't I certain? I could not see her mouth very well, but her cheeks were like pink roses. Weren't they Rowena's cheeks? But wasn't she taller than before? I was filled with a kind of madness. I ran to her, but she moved away. Then I saw her long hair moving in the wind. It was blacker than the black of midnight. And now, slowly, her eyes opened. I shouted like a madman, "These are the black eyes of my lost love, the eyes of Lygia!"